The will of God often appears repulsive, but faith enables us to see it as it really is. If we live by faith, we shall judge things very differently from the way people do who rely only on the evidence of their senses and so remain unaware of the priceless treasures hidden under appearances. If we know that someone in disguise is really our king, we shall behave very differently toward him than will someone who sees only an ordinary man. He will treat him as such. Now, if we see the will of God in the most trifling affairs, in every misfortune, and in every disaster, we shall accept them all with an equal joy, delight, and respect. What others fear and flee from, we shall welcome with open doors. The clothing is shabby and mean to the ordinary eye, but we shall respect the royal majesty hidden under it, and feel the deepening of our love the more hidden and abject our king is. I cannot describe what the heart feels when it accepts the divine will so apparently diminished in power, so humble and so pitiful. How profoundly moved Mary's loving heart was when she saw the poverty of her God, lying whimpering and trembling on a bundle of hay in a manger. If we could ask the people of Bethlehem what they thought of this child, we know what answer we should get. Yet, had he been born in a palace surrounded with all the trappings of a prince, they would have rushed to pay him honor. But let us ask Mary, Joseph, the Magi, and the shepherds, and they will tell us that in this utter poverty, they find something indescribable which increases the glory of God and his attractiveness. Paradoxically, what we cannot experience by our senses stimulates, increases, and enriches our faith. The less we see, the more we believe. To adore Jesus on Tabor, or to accept the will of God expressed through the remarkable circumstances, does not prove that our faith is stronger or better than to accept gladly God's will in the petty affairs of life and to worship Jesus nailed to the cross. For our faith is never more alive than when what we experience through our senses contradicts and tries to destroy it. The battle with our senses gives our faith a splendid victory. To discover God just as clearly in every minor or ordinary thing as in the big things of life is to have a far from normal faith. It is one that is great and extraordinary. To be satisfied with the present moment is to relish and adore the divine will moving through all we have to do and suffer as events crowd in upon us. If we are like this, the liveliness of our faith will compel us to adore God no matter how humiliating the circumstances in which he places us. There is nothing which can conceal him from the penetrating gaze of our faith. If our senses insist there is no God, the more closely and firmly do we clasp to our bunch of mirror. We are neither astonished nor disgusted by anything. Mary sees the apostles flee, but she herself remains faithfully at the foot of the cross. Torn by wounds and disfigured with spittle, though he was, she knew him as her son. Indeed, his bleeding, battered body increased her love and adoration of him. The more viciously he was blasphemed, the more she venerated him. The life of faith is the untiring pursuit of God through all that disguises and disfigures him. And as it were, destroys and annihilates him. Look at Mary. From the stable to Calvary, she stayed close to that God who was despised, rejected, and persecuted. So it is with all faithful souls. They have to pass through a steady succession of veils and shadows and illusions which seek to hide the will of God. But they follow and love it, even to the death on the cross. They know that they must leave the shadows and run after this divine sun, which, from its rising to its setting, and no matter how thick and dark the clouds hiding it, illumines, warms, and sets aglow the loyal hearts who bless, praise, and contemplate it as it sweeps along its mysterious course. Let us then, as faithful souls, happy and tireless, advance after the Beloved as he moves with giant strides across the heavens. He sees all things. He walks above the smallest blades of grass and the cedar groves, and treads the grains of sand as well as the mountain peaks. Wherever we have trodden, he has been. And if we are constantly pursuing him, we shall find him, no matter where we are. There is no peace more wonderful than the peace we enjoy when faith shows us God in all created things. All that is dark becomes light, and what is bitter, sweet. Faith transforms ugliness into beauty, and malice into kindness. Faith is the mother of tenderness, trust, and joy. It cannot feel anything but love and pity for its enemies, by whom it is so greatly enriched. For the more harsh the actions of creatures against us, the more beneficial God makes them for our souls. The human instrument tries to injure us, but the divine craftsman, in whose hands it is, ensures that it takes from our souls all that would harm them. The will of God has only delights, favors, and riches for all souls who are obedient to it. We cannot trust it too much or abandon ourselves to it too completely. If we leave everything to God, he will do all that is necessary for our holiness. Faith cannot doubt this. The more unreliable, disgusted, despairing, and unsure of themselves our senses are, the more emphatically does faith exclaim, "God is here, all is well." There is nothing that faith cannot overcome. It pierces through the darkest shadows and the thickest clouds to reach the truth, embraces it, and can never be torn from it.